Now, I just want to say before I get started with the lesson, there was not a collaboration between Rocky and I. You'll see some things that might be similar in what I bring this morning. Just maybe some of the same things might be on some of our minds. You know, at first, I wasn't sure what to preach about. I had some thoughts, something I was working on, and then I was like, well, you know what? It's almost a new year. So a lot of times, you know, you're coming up to a new year, so you might hear sermons about the new year. So normally in those times, we will hear that lessons that are designed for us to reflect personally and things that are suggested that might help us in being better or stronger for the next year or the new year. I want to do something a little different. I do want to reflect on the past, but I want to reflect on the past year. And more of what the year has been like. And then we'll just consider some things, what our attitude towards it is. And if we can do that, if we can consider some of the things I'm going to talk about, then it's going to prepare us for any years that the Lord allows us. We will look at some tools or things that we should be doing that will help us in this. And these aren't new things. These are things we should be doing already. Things that help us in our growth. Things that help strengthen us. Things that help us to stand firm. But before we look at those, what about this year that's ending? What a year. You know, as was already mentioned, we've had issues. And some of these issues are things that we've never had to deal with before. And things being shut down. Changes in how we assemble. Changes how we go out and do things. Shopping, eating, getting groceries, all kinds of changes. And some of the times we weren't even able to go to some of these places. And, you know, I'm not sure how long in public we're still going to have to wear masks. If we could very easily be facing some changes or negative changes in the economy. We could face changes in our freedom, and so on. But so what? Are there things we have to deal with? Yes. Such is life. The question is this. Am I going to worry and focus on these things, or focus on things that I can control? We have a wonderful gift. A gift that we're going to talk about this morning. Something we can have confidence in. And no one can take this from us. Now don't misunderstand me. We can waste it. We can forfeit it. But it can't be taken away. You know, some might ask, well, why are these things happening? You know what? I don't know. Does that change anything? Look, I don't know why. And I don't need to know why these things are happening. I just need to know that we can overcome. We can overcome. Now, when we say overcome, I don't mean that we will necessarily win against some of these battles we have going on with disease, COVID, cancer, things that people are dealing with daily. We may, if the Lord wills it, we may overcome it, but we don't know that. But there is something I can look forward to that is greater than the things in this life. And if we will trust in that and focus on that, we can overcome. And not be weighed down by the things of this life, things that we can't control. So we're about to turn to a familiar passage. If you would turn to Ephesians 6. I know this is one of the passages Rocky was in, or at least in Ephesians 6. And that's where I want to start. I want to start in Ephesians 6:10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength or power of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God." You know, verse 10 tells us to put on this armor. So that what? So that we might be able? No, it says that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. We're familiar with these passages in Ephesians 6, this armament. So I'm not going to go in a lot of detail about it, but when you look at it, you have two main things that you see in this section. And it talks about the Word of God and prayer. So we read in verse 11 that we can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. So let me ask you something. If we give up, or if we give in, what does that undermine? Our faith. It undermines our faith. So what is faith? Well, when you look it up I use the Webster Online Dictionary, and some of these verses or definitions will sound familiar to you because I believe some of them were used in possibly some of Steve's class as well. But one of the meanings you see is the idea of believe or trust. But it also says in one of the meanings, a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. I think we would totally agree that in the idea of belief and trust. But God doesn't expect you to have a blind faith. Faith that we're talking about is not a belief in something without proof. These are things Steve's already been looking at in these evidence classes that he's been teaching. This faith is not based on feeling. This faith is not subjective. It's objective. And there's evidence, objective evidence, historical evidence for what we believe. Of course, with that being said, we're not just talking about faith in just anything. We're looking at a faith in God. Let's turn over to Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17, I know a familiar verse to y'all. It says that faith comes from hearing, and the hearing by the Word of God. Or your version might say, by the hearing of Christ, or the Word of Christ, I'm sorry. So it depends on your version. And if you're using the New American Standard Version, it also has a footnote. It says concerning Christ. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word concerning Christ. Our strength needs to come from a faith in God's love for us and the provisions that He provided in Christ Jesus. Let's look at another familiar verse, John 3:16. Probably most of y'all can quote it. John 3:16. It tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Why does it mention why one would perish? Now, I know most of y'all here are good Bible students, but when preparing this, I never know who's going to be in the audience as well. But we know that it isn't talking about physical life. It already says in the verse, eternal life. Because of a sin problem, we were destined to eternal death. Faith in Christ Jesus is the cure for that. God's Word tells us that we were separated from Him because of sin. Romans 3:23. Let's look at Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And we also are familiar, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:23. So we've seen a couple of verses on this. We'll look at one more set of verses concerning this idea. Let's look in Ephesians. We're going to start in Ephesians 1. We'll read Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 5. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Again, we see this grand love for us that was extended to us. Verse 3 said, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. But what did He mean in verses 4 and 5? It continues speaking of these blessings. That we should be holy and blameless before Him in love. Verse 5, adoption as sons through Christ, or through Jesus Christ, to Himself. So we see this gift through Christ. But I want to bring up something else we see in 4 and 5. There are some that would look at some of these parts of these verses and might try to give it a different meaning. So that's one on a reason why I wanted to bring it up for a second. Verse 4 says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. And He's not saying that He chose Jeff and He chose Bill and so on in that sense. And the same with verse 4, it says this idea of predestined. He predestined us to adoption. He's not saying that He predestined this person and that person, because some teach that. But when we look at it, He's talking about the very thing we have been looking at. Faith. He is saying that He, God the Father, chose or predestined, not specifically specific people, but a specific kind of person. He said those that had faith in Christ could have this salvation through Christ, through His blood, through His death. So these type of people, that was His plan. He predestined that. Now, it is more than just believing the gospel message, but to believe in a way that is going to cause action or an obedient faith. Consider where we started in Ephesians 6. We said that it talked about the Word of God and talked about prayer. We said that we're not just talking about any faith. A faith that would have us look to the God of heaven. A faith that knows His love and has a willingness to follow Him and His guidance. His Word provides all that we need to know. Do we trust in it? Do we look to it? Do we trust and look towards the promise of heaven? Life eternal. We know that life is but a vapor. We're here for just a short period of time. So we need to be a people that focus on things eternal. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy 4. In 2 Timothy 4, what did his faith reveal? 2 Timothy 4, we'll read verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Paul talks about the outcome of his obedient faith. So let's remember that. Remember our faith. And build it in God's Word. So let's consider the second thing that we were going to talk about that we saw in Ephesians 6. And that's the idea of prayer. And Rocky spoke to us this morning about prayer. There's a lot that we could look at on prayer. But what we'll consider this morning on this lesson will be brief. We know that God gives us this avenue. He allows us to speak to Him. When we consider that just in itself, I don't know why we would not use it. And we have this avenue to be thankful to Him, which we should. Put our cares and concerns on Him. That is why I chose the two verses I did that we're going to look at, just short. But when we consider what we started off looking at, you know, this idea of the past year and the things that have been going on and things that might continue to go on. Don't know. But when we consider these things, these verses are fitting. You're familiar with James 5:13. You can turn over there if you like. James 5:13 says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." So are we suffering? Do we take our concerns to the Father in heaven? He's provided this avenue, and that takes the pressure off us when we can talk to Him about these things and ask for Him to step in. Now, we don't know how He's going to answer or when, but we trust in Him. He's already proven His love for us. We need to put our cares on Him. Are the things that are going on today giving us anxiety? Don't let it weigh you down. Take it to the Lord. Another familiar verse, Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." Prayer will help us. As mentioned earlier, it is part of this armament that we are to put on. Do we use it? Are we using these two things we looked at? Are we looking to God's Word? Are we growing in it? Are we showing our trust in what He teaches us and using this avenue of prayer? We can wrap up our thoughts in Mark 16. Mark 16, 15 and 16. You know, Jesus tells His apostles in verse 15, He says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." They are to preach the gospel or the good news. What is that to produce? Faith. Verse 16, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Not believing just in anything, like we've already mentioned. We're talking about the good news that they were preaching. This should cause one to believe, and to believe in a way to cause action, being baptized. If you do that, then here it says you found salvation, shall be saved. But it also says, "But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Really, there's nothing more to say. If one doesn't believe, then that would not cause them to act. Nothing to act upon. They've passed up the offer. They shall be condemned. So I ask this morning, how is your faith? How is our faith? I hope it's been strengthened this morning. I know mine has. It's good to see everyone out this morning, indeed, even with the circumstances. So let's continue to focus on the Lord and His promises, looking to and growing in His Word, going to Him to pray, going to Him in prayer, trusting in it, knowing that He hears. He has already proven, like I said, that He cares by the act of love which He had shown. And that's the giving of His Son. So if we can help you this morning, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.